produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
A healer.
God is a healer.
Yes, he is.
Sometimes weapons form against you, but they'll never prosper. Remember, God is your shield.
He's waiting for your call.
He is waiting for your call. Waiting to shield you from your fall.
And there's a place of rest and peace.
There's a place of rest.
And here's the good news.
Peace is waiting.
Peace is waiting.
Hallelujah.
In the sanctuary. One more verse. Listen.
Sometimes your bills can stress you.
Can I get a witness in here?
But remember God's peace.
He's a peace giver.
He's a peace giver.
I bet you can relate to this.
Sometimes your money's running low and you're worried how you'll make it. But God will supply your.
Anybody know he'll supply your needs? He's waiting for your call.
He's waiting for your call. Waiting to shield you from your fall. And there's a place of rest and peace in the sanctuary.
Everybody lift your hands if you feel him moving in this place. I feel you moving.
I feel
in the sanctuary.
In the sanctuary.
And thank you all for listening to my first radio show. I am excited to welcome you to Healing the Hurt. This program is dedicated to spreading hope and healing using the application of God's Word as healing balm for emotional wounds. I come to reassure you today that God heals hurt, turns pain into purpose, and changes adversities into authority so we can walk out our destiny. Praise the Lord. I am excited about what I believe God is getting ready to do. But before we move further into the program, I just want to give honor where honor is due. I want to thank Ms. Kayla Padgett, who is known as my DLCFG. She knows what that means. And her team for providing the opportunity and support to make this program possible. I also want to give a shout out to my husband, Elder Norris Patton, and my pastor, Dr. Bartholomew Orr, powerful men of God and dedicated teachers of His Word. I honor and thank both of you. Most of all, as they say, save the best for last. Most of all, I want to give God all the honor and praise for opening the door of opportunity and trusting me, even in the latter season of my life, to host a radio program where I can share nuggets of healing and deliverance with His precious people all over the world. To God be the glory. But before we go any further, I just want to give those of you that might want to contact me a way to do that. You may contact me through my website. That's www.drmarygpatton.com. And click on the envelope to get in touch. I'd love to hear from you and pray with you. Again, that's www.drmarygpatton.com. Click on the envelope to get in touch. Praise God for His faithfulness. Hallelujah. He is a healer. Psalms chapter 147 and 3, and I'll be referencing the New Living Translation for my scriptures. It says that He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Shall we pray? Scripture tells us in Luke 18 and 1 that we should always pray and never give up. Praise God. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, your Son who shed His blood at Calvary for our sins, I humbly bow before you with thanksgiving. I pray that you cleanse my heart of any unrighteousness so that my prayer will not be hindered. Thanking you, Father, for your love and mercy that you extend daily to the world you created. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we have not been consumed by the enemy. I pray for mercy as we continue to navigate life during COVID-19. Father, be merciful to all of those who are ill and those who are caring for them. Give healthcare workers and all of those on the front line strength and wisdom to do the work you have entrusted to their hands. Because we know, Father, that you're in control of the situation that we are in right now. Father, I pray for each one that is hearing my voice on today, and I ask that you would meet their needs. Again, Father, I want to thank you for Kayla, the vision that you have given her, and I pray that you continue to strengthen and encourage her. Continue, Father, to bless her and her family and the team as they work diligently with her to meet the needs of the people all over the world. Father, I pray that each word uttered from my mouth will be acceptable in your sight. I pray that you will utilize the words you've given me to demolish strongholds that have held your people hostage to pain and confusion from damaged emotions. Heavenly Father, I pray that as you heal the hurt of the people, you'll also add souls to your kingdom in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. As talking points for this session, I'll be referring to a passage of scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, in addition to a quote from the book, Broken Rungs, Yet I Climb, which is my personal story of God's power to extract a miracle from a mess. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Many are seeking rest today, but in all the wrong places. Some Bible scholars say that when Jesus spoke about weary and burden in chapter 11 in Matthew chapter 11, he was probably referring to the heavy loads that the Pharisees placed on men's shoulders by insisting on a legalistic interpretation of the law. Because Matthew 23 and 4 says, they crush people with unbearable religious demands I never lift a finger to ease the burden. But I also believe that there's a personal promise for our emotional healing and deliverance contained in Matthew 11, 28 and 29 as well. Now, I say this because weary means to be tired, and burden means to be weighted down, encumbered, or agitated. And those are some of the feelings that people frequently experience when they are emotionally wounded. Our physical, spiritual, and emotional selves are interconnected. Therefore, emotions can influence our physical reactions and vice versa. I believe the Word of God is a truly relevant word that can address every aspect of our lives at the specific moment that we need it. I also believe that the Word is alive and speaks to us if we simply listen. Consequently, I believe Jesus, who is the living Word, is saying to each of us personally, come to me, all of you who are brokenhearted and despondent. Bring me your pain. I believe that when Jesus came to set us free from sin, as referenced in Galatians 5 and 1, he also came to set us free from emotional bondage as well. When our emotions are out of control, our spirituality suffers. Emotional pain often floods our minds with negative thoughts, and over a period, negative energy produced from that defeated thinking will begin to eat away at our faith. When we are hurting emotionally, it is extremely difficult to focus on anything other than our feelings. Relationships get ignored, including our relationship with God, my Lord. Emotional pain can be all-consuming, especially when we attempt to carry that burden alone. Without the intervention of the Holy Spirit, emotional pain can derail our prayer life. But if we come, my Lord, if we submit to him and let him teach us his law, let him gently guide our thought processes, then we will find that rest we so desperately need for carrying those heavy burdens resulting from our damaged emotions. Praise the Lord. To be yoked with emotional pain is a heavy burden to bear. Sometimes we struggle under heavy loads from our hurt for years. Jesus came to set us free. It's time to walk in the freedom that Christ died for. It is time to heal the hurt. Many times when we are hurting, we tend to turn to our friends for support and comfort. There can be great advantage to having supportive friends, but we must remember that they do not have the power to heal. Only God can heal our hurt, lift our burdens, and give us rest, the kind of rest needed for emotional healing for our tormented souls. Praise the Lord. Once there was a time in my life when I staggered from a heavy load of pain. My pain was the enduring effects from childhood hurts. I was unable to hear the voice of God clearly or make rational decisions because my mind had been cluttered by the residuals of stress and anxiety from those early painful experiences. You see, stress over time has the ability to produce a chemical reaction in our brains that will affect our ability to think clearly. But God is faithful. He is loving, and he is patient with us. When I learned to surrender my pain to God, my prayer life changed, and my thought processes also began to change. The emotional clutter began to disappear. Things began to change for me the day I acknowledged the sobering fact that I was not capable of handling the weight of my pain on my own. And I made the decision to seek God for help. Not just seek help, but to accept God's help. Because sometimes we seek God for an answer, but do not like the answer we get. Then we continue to seek another. God helped me to realize that I was not the strong Black woman that I thought myself to be. and that I could not carry the burdens of my painful existence on my own and maintain my sanity. Society can be deceptive in its unrealistic expectation of us. And many times we fall into the trap of attempting to live up to societal norms without even realizing it, and cause ourselves additional pain, stress, and anxiety. We tend to forget that we are not to conform to the standards of the world, as John 17 and 16 reminds us. Personally, I needed to let go of who society had taught me that I was and realize whose I was. When I learned to let go of my stubborn hold on what I perceived as just being a strong woman, fighting to maintain control of my life, holding it together as society had taught me, and gave my pain package to God, He taught me some valuable lessons and gave me peace and rest. I gave Him my package of pain, and He exchanged it for instructions for living, His peace and rest. He is a good God. Praise the Lord. I want to share a quote from the book, Broken Rungs, Yet I Climb. Quote, the Bible speaks to a promise recorded in Matthew 11:28, that if those of us who are weary and burdened would come to Him, our Lord, He would give us rest. It is my personal experience that the promised rest is from anxiety, depression, fear, and grief, and whatever else may cause my heart to experience discontent. In my opinion, rest in this context is synonymous with peace. For me, emotions such as anxiety, depression, fear, and grief had been peace robbers. They tended to invade my mind when I least expected and took away that sweet rest and peace that was promised to me in Scripture. Unquote. Difficult life experiences can weigh us down many times, causing us to feel weary. In that respect, life can be paralleled with the Pharisees in terms of being unforgiving when teaching us hard lessons. I staggered under the weight of life's burdensome instructions for quite a long time before fully acknowledging my limitations and accepting the help that had already been put in place for me by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's a cliche that says, life is the best teacher. As a teacher, life can be Pharisaic, oppressive, and unforgiving. It is not a good idea to let life be your teacher. Instead, allow Jesus Christ to be your teacher. He will gently instruct you with His word. He will yoke up with you and lighten those heavy burdens. The yoke with Him represents subjection and servitude. When we surrender to His authority, He promises to lighten our heavy burdens. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Glory to His name. He promises to lighten our heavy burdens. I believe, my Lord, I believe there is someone listening to me right now who can probably say, Dr. Mary, I can relate to your story. Some of you can relate to how emotions sparked from painful experiences can intrude our minds and rob us of our peace. Peace robbers, or pain packages, as I sometimes call them, come in many forms. Some come in the form of pain and grief from loss of someone dear to us. Some come in the form of frustrations from financial difficulties. Some in the form of painful struggles with depression and anxiety. Some of you can relate to what we consider as church hurt. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I believe that we can all relate to the lyrics of a song that says, sometimes life will hurt you. There are times when life will knock us down, bruise us up, scar us, but God, He is a healer. Life experiences often teach hard lessons. However, Jesus will soften the blow. He will heal our wounds. I have learned many valuable lessons through life difficulties. One of those lessons is that we must not quit because a task looks impossible, but rather hold on, stay in the race, keep working diligently with an ear open, listening to the soft whisper of the Holy Spirit, letting Him be our teacher, my God, because many things are not as they initially appear to be. The enemy of our soul will try to convince us that we will never be free from the results of our past. I come to tell you that I'm a living testimony. I can assure you, things are not always as they initially appear to be. God heals the hurt. He will reach deep down into a mess and draw out a wonderful miracle and use it for His glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is powerful, and He loves us just that much. He wants us to be whole. We are not truly effective for Him until we are healed. Now, there is someone listening to this broadcast who is tired of the struggle. Your pain feels overwhelming, and you need a healing. The Bible says, if you are weary and burdened, come to Jesus. He will give you rest. How do you come to Him? It's very easy. All you need to do is invite Him into your heart and accept Him as your personal Savior. It is just that simple. He wants to save you. He wants to teach you. And He wants to carry your pain. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sin. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Thank you, Jesus. If you do not already know Him as your personal Savior and healer, invite Him into your heart today by praying this short prayer with me. Father God, I acknowledge that I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Save my soul and heal my hurt. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, if you prayed that simple little prayer in faith, you can go ahead and begin rejoicing. Hallelujah. Because heaven is rejoicing also. This is Dr. Mary thanking you for listening to the broadcast today and inviting you to join me next time for the next session of Healing the Hurt. Until next time, be well and remember, God wants to heal you.
Away.
God wants to heal you.
Yes, He does.
Everywhere you hurt. God
will see you through. Yes, He will.
He'll take the pain.
Listen.
Away.
God shall provide for you each and every day. So lift your hands and say, Lord, I need you. I need you right away.
God shall provide for you.
I know He will.
Each and every day.
Each and every day.
Just lift your hands and say,
lift your hands and
Lord,
say,
I need you.
I need you.
I need you right.
Now come on, just lift your hands and begin to thank him for the healing right now. Come on, let me hear you worship him all over the house tonight. God is in the room to heal you tonight. His presence is here.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
is ahead.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lion of Judah, we worship you. I want to greet you all. This is Pastor Jabu Sangwane coming in from Johannesburg, South Africa. That song you just listened to is a song by one of South Africa's great singers, Lebo Sekgobela, and the title is Lion of Judah. You can feel the soul going before God in the song and taking up the space of worship to the Lion of Judah. I'd like to thank this opportunity from Kyla. Thank you so much. And Pastor Shinikot, welcome to Finding My Way FM radio. Like I said, I'm calling in and talking to you through these internet platforms from Johannesburg, South Africa. I'd like to talk to you about the presence of the Lord today, the presence of the Lord. But before we go there, let us read the Word of God in the book of Numbers, chapter 17, verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, the next day Moses entered the tent and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the tribe of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. The staff that represented the tribe of Levi had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. The story is a story that is found, like I said, in the book of Numbers. And in the story, Moses went to God when the children of Israel started rioting and rising and raising their voices and rebellion against Moses and his leadership. They had said that they too would have other people other than Moses who would lead them. Why must the leadership mantle rest on Moses? What is so special about Moses? And a lot of commotion had ensued. And God, when you read the whole chapter from the top, is trying to set the record straight where he says Moses must take stuff from each of these tribes, leadership from each of these tribes. It means that every tribe has a stuff that represents the would be presented into the presence of God in front of the tent, actually in the tent, in front of the presence of God, which means the leadership of these tribes is being surrendered into the presence of God. And these are the stuff came out the same. But the stuff, oh Jesus, of Aaron, who represented the tribe of Levi, had developed a life. When Moses came and entered the tent where these were put, he discovered that the stuff that represents the Levi tribe had developed, germinated, and got a life that brought up budded, blossomed, and produced almost amazing stuff from nothing into almonds, from nothing into fruits. It means it went through the process of germinating and producing life all by itself in the presence of God, and almonds were seen. And Moses was being shown, God was saying to Moses and to his people, these are the people I've chosen to lead my people. I have chosen the tribe of Levi. And the owner of this stuff is the man I chose to lead my people. The owner of this stuff is my choice. It's for me, it's an amazing thing what happens in the presence of God. The stuff was put there and left there in the presence of God. And God interacted with his choice to produce something that he did not produce. People stuff. And the people stuff lay there dead because of the attitude of rebellion. Nothing happened to their stuff. But the stuff of his chosen one budded, blossomed, then produced almonds. The presence of God has been defined in many occasions by Christians, and I've heard people talking about the presence of God on many occasions. I've heard people talking about it was amazing in the presence of God. It was when they talk about their church experience. And I've often wondered what is it that they were referring to, because they talk about church and talk about the presence of God as if it's limited to church experience. And I say this because this phrase has been used most of the time to refer to a part in the service, a church where worship is done, where we close our eyes and lift our arms and our hands and lie prostrate in worship. And then we refer to that as the presence of God. And our question has always been, where is the presence of God before we do the worship part of our service? Is God not present before we do that? Is the presence of the Lord limited to that? When we close our eyes and sing those songs, and sometimes we cry, we experience some emotional experience. Is that the presence of God? And what happens after when we have done that? Is the presence of God over when I leave church? Is it over when I'm in a sea, or I'm in a plane, or when I'm lying in my bed or at work? Is God not there? Is he not present? My question has always been that, but maybe it's only a matter of semantics, a matter of how people use language. My focus is not there to look at whether that is the presence of God or not. I just want to share about the presence of God as I experience it. When I read also in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 7, it reads like this. It says, there, in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. The first line says, there, in the presence of the Lord your God, there, away from them, there. God is pointing to a specific place where he will choose for them to meet the presence of the Lord. But when we read this chapter from verse 1, we see how the Lord refers to a particular place that he will choose for them to come to him. And he says, to bring their burnt offerings, to bring their sacrifices, to bring their tithes and special gifts. When you go to verse number 7 of Deuteronomy 12, the Bible says, there, in the presence of the Lord, God is pointing to a place that is where they will meet his presence. God is talking to his people, and the presence of God in the Old Testament was outside of his people. They had to go to the presence of the Lord, to move from their tents and go to the presence of God. That's why they had temples. They would go and worship and give these offerings, whatever type of offering, in the temple, which means the presence of God was outside of them, not on the inside. The blessing that we have these days is that we have the presence of God with us 24 hours. He lives in us, within us. And the Bible says, in him we live. It says, in him we move. It says, in him we have our being. In him. So the presence of God is not far away. It's not outside of us. It is on the inside of us. But in the olden days, in the Old Testament, it was outside. They had to go to the presence of the Lord. It was elsewhere. They had to see, even with their eyes, the presence of God. Whereas these days, we don't have to see it. We just have to know it. When God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, when you accept Christ in your heart as your Savior, He is in your heart. And the Bible refers to our bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit. So this body that is talking today is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Inside of me is the Holy Spirit. So if I have to go to the presence of God in the temple, it means I am already in the temple, because I am already the temple, which means I sleep, I wake, I walk, I breathe, I eat with the presence of the Lord. It is with me at all times. I don't have to go to a place in order to experience the presence of God. But if you don't know it, you may end up with a lot of people who think that when they go to church, they are going into the presence of the Lord. Therefore, when they are not at church, they can't experience the presence of the Lord. They have to wait until Sunday, even, to experience the presence of the Lord. Now, in the olden days, while walking in the desert, the children of Israel saw the pillar of a cloud by day and by night, the pillar of fire. These phenomena represented the presence of God. And the Bible tells Moses saw a burning bush, and he had the voice of God from that burning bush. He heard the presence of God coming in the form of a voice from a burning bush. So for him, his attention was arrested by this fire, by this bush that was burning, he came close, and the Bible says, a voice came from the burning bush and said, "Don't come any closer. Remove your shoes, remove your sandals, because the place where you're standing is holy. It is holy because there is the presence of the Lord." Now, the presence of the Lord carried with it a judgment that will be instant if you're not holy and therefore qualify to get into the presence of the Lord. But we thank God that today, as I speak, through Christ, the presence of the Lord does not carry the judgment that disqualifies us because we don't qualify. The level of holiness is questionable. And then Moses had to remove his sandals before God could speak to him. And these days, we can speak to the Father anytime, anywhere. We can engage with the presence of God as soon as we open our eyes in the morning. We can talk to God, never sometimes like in the olden days where you had to assume a position where you kneel down, and you can talk to God walking. You can talk to God in your car, driving on the freeway. You can access the presence of God because the presence of God is within you. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is at hand. Now it has come. We walk and we talk, we breathe. The presence of God is with us. We don't have to feel it. We don't have to see it. I don't have to feel like I'm a child of God. I don't have to feel like God is with me. I just have to know. I love the Bible when it says, "Be still and know that I am God." It doesn't say, "Be still and feel that I am God," or "Be still and see that I am God." It says, "Be still and know." We know because the Bible tells us. We know that the presence of God is within us because when we accept Christ as our Savior in our heart, He comes on the inside, and the Holy Spirit that baptizes us and feeds us, the Spirit fills the temple which is our body. Moses was warned not to come too close because the presence of God does not accommodate human beings because of their lack of holiness. And when we read about the priests in the Old Testament, we hear how they only were allowed into the Holy of Holies. They had to be the ones representing the people in the presence of the Lord. Even they were not so safe from death in that situation. The presence of God then brought with it an instant judgment. Now, if a priest had a questionable standing with God because of whatever he has committed or even omitted, he would die right there in the presence of the Lord. Thank God that I speak to you today with the presence of the Lord. He actually speaks through me. But we, as children of God who have accepted Christ, have this privilege. We need to know this privilege. That even when we go through stuff, it's amazing how David knew then in the Old Testament about this presence of the Lord that walks with you, that protects you even when you're not even aware that the presence is there. He says, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. I imagine when David looked around, he could not see God there, but he knew that God was with him. It's amazing when a person that lived in the Old Testament knew this. Even though God had brought Jesus Christ yet, even though the Holy Spirit was not experienced like we experience today, but David knew. He says, I will fear no evil because I know you are with me. It is an amazing thing, and I pray that we come to an understanding that the presence of God is not how we feel. Sometimes when we feel in a particular way, and then we sing, and then the musical instruments are played in a particular way, and they invoke some emotion, and then we sometimes mistake that for the presence of God. Well, it's just emotionalism. I pray that God helps us to understand that he does not have to prove his presence. We just have to know that our God is with us. We don't have to feel it. We just have to know that our God is with us. That's all we need to do. I want us to take a little break and listen to a song by Joy Celebration. Say, Lord, I can feel.
Lord, I can feel your presence in this place. Lord, I can feel your presence in this place.
If you know that, you don't panic, you don't get emotional.
even sometimes with your tears running down your face, you know that He is with you. Even when you're going through pain, you know that He is with you. Not like in the olden days. In the olden days, they traveled to the temple. We do not have to move an inch to reach His presence. He lives within us. And by faith, we wake with Him. We walk with Him. We sleep with Him. He is so gracious that He offered as a sacrifice so that His Son can, in our space, in our place, be the sacrifice that has been offered. And in the olden days, they offered all kinds of animals as sacrifices. But Jesus, thank God, He became our sacrifice. These days, the sacrifice has been offered on our behalf. All we need to do is to believe and receive and walk by faith. This understanding makes us walk with confidence, and our confidence is strengthened by the knowledge that just like He said in His word, He would never leave us nor forsake us. Only this time, He would literally be there at all times. Whether we're sleeping or we are not sleeping, He would always be there. In the next day, like the Bible says Moses came in the next day and he found the staff blossomed and with all the fruit, the almonds. When you get into the presence of God and you just be, the presence of God produces fruit in you. I love Psalms chapter 46 and verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And verse 11 particularly says, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Indeed, He is with us." Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let the devil twist it. The devil knows the level of knowledge that you have. Let us go to God with an understanding that even when we don't see Him, we don't feel Him, His presence is always with us. His presence is with us in the desert, like the Israelites, and His presence is with us when we are going through situations, and even in our darkest hour, He does not leave us. Let's keep desiring to bear in those fruit and representing the kingdom of God. God bless you. I'll come out with a song that says, "Lift Up Your Eyes," my joy celebration. Until next time, God bless you.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
I get knocked down, but I get up again when shake the dust off of my feet from the beginning.
Yeah.
Still standing in the rain, hate to fall back. Thought I was gone, but I'm back, J-Dab trapped.
Oh.
And I made back with S-Dot. You blessed not, I'm blessed
yeah.
High. Dust off, cause my vision ain't done yet. Y'all chrome him alone, we the best. Yeah.
You ain't gotta stay that long. Anytime you fall, it makes you stronger. Finish this race, you're going to a higher place. The residue of your past, what you know won't last. You've got some place to be, a destiny is waiting on you. You think it's all over, devil got you peeping over your shoulder. He's got you thinking you lost the fight, trunk without his mind. Keep you in the mud, cause he knows that with our blood, you're the winner in the end. There's no way he can win. You win the one, you need too many chances. And everybody else will be advances to the next stage of their life. And why it feels like a kitchen knife, stabbing you deep down in your soul. Cause in your heart you know that you could be someone else, doing so much better than you ever been.
You ain't gotta stay that long. Anytime you fall, it makes you stronger. Get up and finish this race. You go.
So when you get lost, and should you ever fall, just
stop. You ain't gotta stay there long.
Just stop.
Anytime you fall, it makes you stronger.
Just
get up and finish this race.
Just stop.
You're going to a higher place. The residue of your past.
Just stop.
What you know won't last.
Just stop.
You've got some place to be. Destiny is waiting on you.
You ain't gotta stay there long. Anytime you fall, it makes you stronger. Get up and finish this race. Higher place, the residue of your past. What you know won't last. You've got some place to be. Destiny's waiting on you.
Greetings, beautiful people. Welcome to our New Growth in Christ radio broadcast. I am your host and your bishop, Bishop Sidney P. Malone, and I am so grateful that you decided to join us today as we explore the beauties of the Word of God by way of the Kingdom of God. all of this is because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're so grateful to have you. And we are honored to be on the Finding My Way Radio Network. And so we praise God for the founder, the president, the CEO, Miss Kayla Pageant. And we pray for her constantly. We pray for her victory. We pray for her destiny. We pray for all of the things in which the Lord has designed for her life. And so we thank God for her, and we thank God for all that he is doing within her life. We love you so much, Miss Kayla, and we're grateful for the call of God that is upon your life. We're also grateful for New Growth in Christ. That is the ministry which I am honored to pastor, and I am grateful to the Father for this ministry in Memphis, Tennessee, which the Lord is using to change not only our community, but he's also using us to change the world. Recently, we had an opportunity to go to Quito, Ecuador to minister there, as well as travel to different other countries and other nations. And we're headed to the Bahamas in the upcoming weeks in order to minister to a group of pastors that are there. We're so grateful that God is using us here at New Growth in Christ. And I'm just honored that as the bishop here, as the chief servant, as one of the chief worshipers that's here in the ministry, that God is continuing to show himself faithful as we trust him. And so God bless you, New Growth. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for how you are a blessing and an asset to the kingdom of God. Listen, I want to thank God for all of you who are listening from around the world, from every province, from every continent, from every nation. We honor the kingdom of God that is here globally, and we thank God for your effectiveness. We're praying that as we minister the word to you, that you will allow God to speak to you. You will allow this word to permeate your spirit, your soul, your body, and that you will experience the fullness in which the Father has for you. As a matter of fact, speaking of fullness, this is what we're talking about. This is what's been the emphasis in my life, what I believe the Lord is saying to us, and that is he wants us whole. He wants us to experience wholeness in every area of our life. I know it's popular many times to talk about brokenness, but I want to share with you, beloved, that being broken is not God's best for your life. Now, I understand that brokenness sometimes takes us through a process to a destination, but we should not fall in love with the process. We should simply be obedient through the process. And as we go through the process in which the Father has for us, we should worship and celebrate and praise him along the way as we get to the destination which he has for us. Beloved, do you remember the children of Israel? They were promised a land which flowed with milk and honey. And the Lord told them, I'm going to take you to that land. And when you get there, everything that I show you, it's yours. It belongs to you. But as they were leaving where they were, headed to where they were designed and destined to be, they had to go through this process called the wilderness. Now, the wilderness was not God's best. It was simply God's choice. Let me say that again. It was not God's best. It was God's choice. God chose to take them through the wilderness. He chose that particular path for them because God in his sovereignty knew that there were some things that needed to have been weeded out. There were some things that needed to get out of their system before they could get into that promised place in which he had for them. So he told them as they were going through their process, he said, I want you to build an altar. Don't build a dwelling place, but build an altar because the process is the place of sacrifice. The process is the place of worship. The process is the place where you reverence and you honor and you remember me. You do that through your process, but the process is not a dwelling place. So that's why he told them, do not become comfortable in the wilderness. Do not become comfortable in your process. Because what you're going through is not designed to sustain you for the rest of your life. where you are is not designed to sustain your destiny. Where you are is designed to sustain and aid your process. In other words, where you are is designed to propel you to where you need to be. And so you can't fall in love with where you are. You can't fall in love with your process. And for many people, being broken is simply the process. It's the tearing down of something that should not be and the building up of something that is designed to be. But we don't, hear this now, we don't embrace brokenness as if it is God's best for our life. No, it's not God's best, it's simply God's choice. He chose for many of us to go through a particular way, but we're to go through that way worshiping and loving and praising, but staying focused on the thing which is ahead. That's why the Bible says, Paul put it this way, he said, "Beloved, I've learned that whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content." He said, "I've learned to be content where I am, but I'm not satisfied where I am. No, I press on. I press forward toward the mark. I keep pressing. But I've learned that wherever I am, I can be content. I can know that God has his hands upon me, that God is promoting me, that God is preparing me, that God is propelling me. That's what my Father is doing in my process. So therefore, I've learned how to worship through my pain. I've learned how to praise through my trials. I've learned how to glorify him in this moment, because this moment does not determine my destination. This moment has come to pass. So, beloved, the will of God for you is for you to walk in wholeness. And so I want to speak that into your life. It is the will of the Father for you to be whole, for you to have all that he has designed for you to have. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I'm going to read it out of the NIV. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he goes on to say in verse 24, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk about this particular scripture, the wholeness aspect. I want to talk about it, and we started reading at verse 23, and we went down to verse 24, but I want to start with verse 24 and go back. The Bible says in verse 24, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." The one who calls you. The one who calls you. Beloved, it is important for you to realize that God is the one who has called you. He called you. If I were to call someone right now, before I call them, I would have an intention for the calling. Before I call them, before I even mention their name, I would know in my mind why I wanted them to come. And from that intention, then I would make my selection. Let me say that again. From that intention, I would make my selection. So because God knew what he intended for your life, he made his selection of your life, and he called you. So beloved, when you hear the call, when you respond to the call, know that there is an intention for the call. He's calling you for a reason. He's not calling you just for the sake of giving you a title. He's not calling you just for the sake of giving you accolades and honor. But he is calling you because he has intended for a particular thing to be accomplished in your life, through your life, and because of your life. So the Bible says, the one who calls you, the one who calls you, on our perspective, or from our perspective, we need to know that there is an intention to the selection, but also we need to know the integrity of the one who called. See, just because someone calls you, if you don't really know who they are, if you don't know their character and their integrity, chances are you might not answer. If someone calls you on your phone and you're not familiar with the number, or if you don't really know who they are, chances are you might consider, is what I'm doing more important than answering this call? But if a familiar name or number pops up on your phone, then you, in many instances, will stop what you're doing because of the intention, because of the character of the person who's calling. You know that this is an important call. I need to answer this one. Beloved, I submit to you, the one who calls you, the one Alpha and Omega, the one who was here from the beginning to the end, the one who is your Savior, your Father, the one who created you, that one called you. I submit to you, stop what you're doing and answer the call. Answer the call that the Father has for your life. Answer the call to greatness. Answer the call because his intention has determined his selection. He knew exactly what he was doing when he called you. And you can trust in the fact that he would not call you if it were not serious. He would not call you if he did not know what he wanted when he called you. And if you did not know that the one who called you is a faithful one, he is a loving one, he is worthy of your answer. So our answer is yes. We sing this song in our church. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I will agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. When he calls, give him your yes before you even know why he called you. You know that the one who called you is worthy of your yes. The Bible says the one who calls you is faithful. Oh, thank you, Father, for being so faithful in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you always come through. Thank you, Father, you always provide. Thank you, Father, you always deliver. Thank you, Father, you always protect, sustain. You are faithful. I do not discredit the faithfulness of the one who calls, and neither should you, beloved. The Bible says that the one who calls you is faithful. Now notice this, and he will do it. Glory to God. He will do it. What will he do? He will do whatever it is he said he would do upon you answering the call. Whatever he called you for, and you answered it, he's faithful, and he said he'll do it. And so can we thank God that he will do whatever he has called us to do? He will do it. Beloved, it's not on you to get it done. It's only on you to answer the call. And when you answer the call, the Father said, I will do whatever I intended, whatever I selected you for, I will do it. I will do it. So, Father, thank you that our destinies are already done. Thank you that our steps are already ordered. Thank you that provision has already come. Thank you that doors have already opened. Thank you that the right people will be at the right place, saying the right things to the right people. Thank you, Father. You have ordered and guided our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's already done. And we give you praise for the it's already done. We thank you for the it's already done. We rejoice over the it's already done. We bless you over the it's already done. Thank you, Father. So, beloved, he said, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. But let's back up. What will he do? The Bible says God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. What will he do? He will sanctify you through and through. Why? Because he's the God of peace. And the reason why he said that is because he wants you to know that he's positioning you for peace in your life. Peace is the completeness of God. It's the wholeness of God. He is positioning you to have peace in your ministry, peace in your marriage, peace in your mind, peace in your mission, peace in your momentum. He has caused you to experience peace through and through. He said, I've sanctified you. I've set you apart for my use, and that use is filled with peace. That I'm doing it myself, sanctifying you through and through. And he said, I am not only sanctifying you through and through, just generally speaking, but he got real specific with us. He said, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be kept blameless. Your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body, he said, will be kept blameless. Do you not understand what he's saying to us right there? He's saying that, well, I am going to, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body, glory to God, he said, I am going to cause you to be sanctified. I'm going to, in your spirit, the real you, I'm going to cause you to experience my peace. In your soul, which includes your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your desire, I'm going to cause you to experience my peace. Oh, thank you, Father, for peace in our minds. And then he said, in your body, I'm going to cause peace to occur. What is peace in our body? Wholeness, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. What is peace in your body? Being healed. He said, I'm going to cause those troubled areas to be sanctified through and through, and you will experience my wholeness, my peace in your body. Beloved, I speak peace in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. You are whole. You are complete in every area of your life because the one who called you, he is faithful, and he will do it. Glory to God. So your peace, you have the peace of God. And he said, I'm going to do that in your whole spirit, soul, body, and you will be kept blameless. Kept blameless. I want to deal with those two words there. Kept blameless. He said, you're going to be kept or preserved blameless. Let's talk about these two. When he said, I'm going to sanctify your whole spirit, soul, and body to the degree where you are kept, the word kept means preserved. It means to guard or to watch while undergoing something. If you can imagine someone having surgery, everybody is not allowed into the operating room, but only certain people are allowed in the operating room because they need to preserve what's happening. They need to guard what's happening. It can't be exposed to all types of elements and all types of germs and bacteria, as well as all types of people who don't have the experience to operate. And so he's saying that when I am sanctifying you through and through, I am keeping you, I am preserving you, I'm guarding you, I'm watching over you while you're undergoing something. See, on our way to wholeness, as many of us are going through the process, the Father says, don't worry about it. I am guarding you. I am preserving you. I am watching over you. I am making sure that no type of contaminant can come in the process as you are moving from your broken state to that position of wholeness, of peace, of sanctification in your whole spirit, soul, and body. Glory to God. He said, I'm guarding, I'm watching you while you're undergoing it. What? How does he guard us? How does he watch us? Well, he has given his angels charge over us. They keep us in all of our ways. See, listen, beloved, you have angelic escorts who are watching and guarding the process. They will not allow the enemy to come in and to contaminate what God is doing within your life. Believe that, beloved. And you have apostles, you have bishops, you have prophets, you have pastors and teachers who are watching over your soul. That's why you must be submitted. Be submitted to a man or a woman of God. Be submitted to your local church body, because they will watch over your soul. They will watch you. They will guard you. They will protect you as you are going through this process from being broken to being whole. Because that's the will of God for you, beloved. That's what he desires for your life. He wants you to be whole. Why does he want us to be whole so much? Well, I believe it's found in this particular scripture. He said, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to sanctify you through and through, your whole spirit, soul, and body, so that I can preserve or guard while you're going through this process, because I want you blameless. Beloved, that word blameless means so that there is no cause for censure. That's a word that we have here. Censure meaning a public, formal expression of disapproval. What did Timothy tell us? Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice he said, study so that God can approve you. Because if God can approve us, then God can also disapprove us. He disapproves if we don't study. He said, I don't want you to be ashamed. Well, if we don't study, God won't approve us and we will be shamed. It will be a public shame. And so the Father is saying, I am working on you to keep you from being shamed publicly, to keep you from being a public spectacle simply because you're broken. Listen, people will flock to people who are broken. Broken people will draw a crowd, but it's not for the right reasons. The crowd will come because the crowd is there to mock. The crowd is there to point fingers. The crowd is there to laugh and to scorn. The crowd is there to discredit. The Father is saying, I don't want you drawing a crowd through your brokenness. He is saying, I want you to be whole, so that there will not be a reason for you to be formally disapproved, publicly disapproved. Oh, beloved, isn't it good news to know that the Father is saying to us, I will not cause you to be embarrassed. I will not cause you to be ashamed. I will not cause you to be publicly disapproved. Why? Because he says, I'm going to make you whole. You're going to be whole in your speech, whole in your love, whole in how you relate to other people, whole in your presentation, whole in your preaching, whole in your association, whole in relationships, whole in your body, whole in your finances. You will not be broke in any area of your life. Why? Because the one who calls it. How can you say it so, Bishop? The one who calls you, he's faithful, and he will do it. Well, Bishop Malone, how long would this go on? The Bible says he's going to keep you and sanctify you through and through. Your whole spirit, soul, and body will be kept blameless. Now notice this, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to keep you and you will be kept until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's for the rest of your life. Isn't that good news, beloved? Yes, that is great news, and we give God glory and praise for it. Father, we bless you, and we thank you, and we glorify you for taking us from that place of brokenness to that place of wholeness. We love you for it, Father, and we give you the glory that we shall inherit the land. We shall fulfill our call. We shall glorify you with our lives because you are faithful. And you are the one who's already done it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, beloved, I love you. I thank God for you listening. Continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. This is your Bishop, Sidney P. Malone of New Growth in Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, reminding you to keep going and growing with Jesus. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.